Today is all about celebrating Jesus as King, as our King, and as the King of Kings. Today is Jesus' coronation. Although, of course, we know he actually has been a divine king even before this, but today we celebrate for ourselves Jesus being in control of everything. So before we look at this story, and there is something strange about it, just if there's any artwork in anyone's drawing, this Palm Sunday event is a fantastic one, all that's happening. In particular, Jesus on this donkey, and as he's going through this city, and everyone's throwing palm leaves and or even palm crosses. If you've got them there, you can see this is similar to what they were worshipping Jesus with. And in particular, if you're going to draw that event like a coronation, so think of a king being crowned, a king or queen being crowned, draw that. And the thing I always love, always include if you do this event, is it wasn't just adults who were doing it, it was kids too. And we see that the kids were actually shouting for Jesus to be king as much as anyone, if not more. They had more things to say about who Jesus was. So that's always a good one if you've got that image in mind. So that's what we're looking at today. This image of Jesus being coronated as king. But there is something strange about why we made Jesus our king, the reason that people gave in this Palm Sunday. And the reason that they celebrate Palm Sunday is to do with this Easter week, which we're about to go in, this Holy Week. It's all to do with what's going to happen later this week, which we're going to celebrate on Thursday and Good Fridays particularly. So one of the readings I wanted in our, we had Psalm 118, we will look at that later, and I was going to have a third reading, and I forgot, it was going to be on Revelation chapter 5. And in that Revelation chapter 5, you've got this fantastic image where God the Father is there on his throne, all of creation is gathered around the throne, and then there's a scroll, which is effectively the meaning of everything. The meaning of everything is bundled up in this little locked scroll, and all of creation's crying because no one can open the meaning of everything. This little scroll, and no one's worthy to open it. But in Revelation chapter 5, one person is. There is a lamb who looks like it's been slain, and he was worthy. He walked right up to the throne, opened the scroll, and everyone cheered. They all cheered, and it was a similar event to this Palm Sunday. Everyone shouting, "Worthy is the Lamb, because he was slain to receive honour and glory and praise." So everything belongs to this Lamb. And it's like, again, he's coronated. When he walks up to the throne and he opens that scroll, everyone goes, "Yes, you deserve everything. Let us give you everything." But why? What's the reason that Jesus deserves all of that authority? What's the reason that he's coronated? And in that Revelation passage, they say it's because he died and with his blood purchased the church. But how does that make any sense? Lots of people die without ever having been made king. Well, there is more to Jesus' death than that, of course. He didn't die pointlessly. And he, as in that Revelation 5, they talk about how his death actually rescued the entire world. His death was far from pointless. He died to save us. And with that, he won for himself a kingdom and a priestly people. So that's what heaven is saying for all ages to come. Their Palm Sunday is, "Worthy is this king because he died." And that might seem strange to us on Palm Sunday. We think it's a happy, we're talking about him coronated, him being crowned. And yet heaven is saying he's king because he's going to die. But actually, it's not just heaven that's saying that. It's not just some hidden meaning. Actually, earth is saying it too. In our passage we read, how people on Palm Sunday, they were quoting a psalm. They were crowning Jesus king because of a psalm. A psalm was going to tell what Jesus was going to do, the reason he deserved to be king. And so as they shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," that's from Psalm 118, which we read. And then it even gets better, because in Psalm 118, verse 27, it even mentions how they'll have branches praising this victorious king, and we've got all our little branches ourselves. So that Psalm 118 is a prophecy of this Palm Sunday. It's of people celebrating this victorious king. But then notice that final section that they were quoting. So I'll read from verse 5 to 27. 25 to 27. So, "Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's the bit they're quoting. "But from the house of the Lord we bless you." That's what we're doing and those people then. "The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us." Then, "with branches in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar." Heaven and earth are crowning Jesus as the greatest king ever because he's about to die. Why? Why is his death the reason for his crowning? It's like they're saying the opposite of "Long live the king." Why? We might think, what does it mean? What makes a king? What does it mean to be a king or God? And that's a similar thing in the Bible, that God kind of treats them in some respect. So when we think about what it might mean to be a king or a God, we might come up with lots of things ourselves. People have ideas like they have to be, you know, rich, they have to live detached from us, they have to live like dignified, they have to live above us. So all these things we're thinking, oh yeah, they're far away, we don't get to see them, they get to tell us what to do. It's all that stuff. That's what we have in mind of gods and kings. But really, we don't have to think hard to come up with a way to measure how kingly someone is, or measure how godly, how godlike someone is. Because actually the Lord tells us himself, he tells us what a god or a king should be like. In Isaiah 45, God is making a speech, basically, and we actually in 2 Chronicles as well, this kind of props up how these kings worship these false idols, and the Lord's attacking both. How pointless a king, how pointless a god. And as in Isaiah 45 particularly, he makes this big case against false gods. And here's what he says, how ungodly they are. Isaiah 45 verse 20, "Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save." And then later, the Lord says this of himself in verse 22, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." God thinks that the metric, the way to measure a king or a god, is their ability to rescue, their ability to save. We've looked at other aspects, how he is this creator of heaven and earth, and how he understands us. But in particular for today, a big point is, can it save? Can any king or god save its people? And that is actually the reason that heaven and earth think Jesus is the best king. It's because he can rescue us from any trouble. And we are mentioned at the beginning, this Palm Sunday is all about something that's going to happen later. It's the reason we celebrate Jesus on Palm Sunday, because when Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, knowing that he would die to rescue us, he was surrounded by loads of his friends and followers, and they decided that this was the moment to crown Jesus as their king, going on his way to die to rescue us. They laid palm leaves before him, symbols of a victorious conquest, and that's how confident these Christians were, and we are now. We're so confident that Jesus would save us, that they're crowning him as king and laying down these victory branches before he's even gone to battle. That's how sure they are that he's going to win, that he's going to go into this battle and come out victorious. And actually, since Genesis chapter 3, we've seen this victory is on the way. That's how sure everyone is. He's on his way to die and he's going to win. We know it. We know it. So these people on Palm Sunday wanted to be a part of this kingdom that Jesus was carving out. So they shout out to everyone that can hear that he is the king. But Jesus' kingdom is drastically different to every other because Jesus expects us to be like him, to be like its king. Being a part of Jesus' kingdom is not like joining a mailing list where you sign up and it's all sorted for you and you almost forget about it. Jesus wants us to do something in return. Jesus' kingdom requires a trade. We get his promised holy and good life. We get all this authority and power and glory. We read in Revelation how he's going to get it all. And then we know he actually gives it back to us. We're married to him. Everything he gets, he shares with us. But in order to get that promised life that belongs to Jesus, we have to give up our old, messed up life. We read that in this event in Palm Sunday. Everyone's throwing their cloaks on the ground in front of Jesus. And in the Bible, your cloak, it's like a sign of your livelihood, of you, your identity. In Zechariah, the identity of Joshua, I almost said Jesus, of Joshua is tied up in his clothing. So giving up your clothing, that cloak to Jesus, is saying, a symbolic way of saying, my life belongs to Jesus. He can have my old coat. I'll take his new one. Now, what's interesting is that's a symbolic thing, giving up your coat. Because you're not giving up your whole life, but you want it. You want to say that. But what's so interesting about this Palm Sunday is, especially in Mark, right before Palm Sunday, right before he goes up to Jerusalem, someone does give their cloak, and it isn't just symbolic. We might remember Blind Bartimaeus. We've been reading Mark recently, and Blind Bart's always one of the best characters, because his cloak really was all he had. His whole life was in that cloak. It kept him warm. It helped him, kept him secure. And yet, when Jesus was coming through as this great king, he gave it up immediately, threw it aside and followed Jesus. That's what was happening on Palm Sunday. People were giving up their old lives to follow Jesus in his new one. So it is a sacrifice we have to make, but it's not a bad one. We give him our mess and he gives us holiness. But that is the problem that we have to face. Joining Jesus' kingdom means we have to leave our current kingdom. We've got to serve this one king. We can't have more than one. So who do we serve at the moment? Who guides us? Who commands us? Who do we listen to? Who's in control of our current life? Because it can't be us and Jesus. This world is filled with lots of things and pleasures and treasures which distract us and tell us you should be in control of your own life. Only you can make good of it. But when Jesus showed up, everyone knew that's not the case. I can't do anything with what I've got. I've messed it up and nothing's working. And yet, he can. Every life he touches follows him, and everyone who sees him realizes he knows what life's about. He knows how to make it work. He knows how to rescue all my addictions, my obsessions, everything I'm trapped in. Only Jesus can do that. But that is this choice we have to make. And earlier in Mark, Jesus makes this clear, and it's a reason we have these crosses, is he says, that those who follow him have to deny themselves and take up their cross. So in some way, we've got to act like Jesus. As he's going to die, we have to kind of think the same way. My life is not mine anymore. It belongs to him. It belongs to this king who heaven and earth think deserves my life. Heaven and earth think he deserves everything. He can make good of everything. And finally, we'll see later this week, he is the true king, the true God, because he has all salvation. Nothing can save more than him, and that's God's metric. If you're a king, if you're God, can you save anything? And of course, Jesus, as we'll see later this week, actually saved everything. There is no better king than him. No one who can save more than him. So, Palm Sunday, let's follow him and give up our life. Take up his cross and follow him as our king.